selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war, they shoot, they kill, they mass on chrome rain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, this God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, it's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, come rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, turn, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little network on the entire internet. And today is what? The 12th of September, 2017. And each day, the world just gets stranger. Now, I want to start off by talking about the hurricane for a little bit. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I'm glad not too many people got killed or hurt. That's a real bonus. It's a big storm. It wasn't as harsh as they thought it was going to be. I mean, it wrecked an awful pile of stuff. It displaced a hell of a pile of people. There's millions upon millions with no electricity and probably millions with no water. But hopefully this doesn't last too long, especially the water part. You can live without electricity for a while, but the water part, I hope they get the water running. I hope they concentrate on getting the water running before they worry about the hydro. But, you know, I went down after Hurricane Andrew, and it was a freaking, it was a freaking disaster. And I think what really saved everybody's bacon in this particular storm was there didn't seem to be too many tornadoes. And when I was down at Hurricane Andrew, because I couldn't believe how twisted, I mean, things got blown around in Irma, but the way things were twisted, huge steel girders just twisted like pretzels. That blew me away. Cause I thought, how the hell would a wind do that to a steel beam? And these were big beams. And so I forget what the numbers, I think somebody told me it was like 23 tornadoes came through Homestead. And that's what did that. That's what really tore the place up. And so I think that's maybe why, Florida didn't get tore up as bad as it could have. I don't think there was that many tornadoes in that storm. And it was, it was damn devastating, and it was going to take Homestead's a pretty small spot. When you look at the entirety of Florida, and a lot of that stuff, they've had floods before. It'll drain back into the ocean. The water will. So you're going to have a lot of cleanup, and you're probably going to have a lot of drywall and insulation to replace. But overall, from what I've seen, could have been a hell of a lot worse. So, good luck to everybody down there, and hope you all get your lives back together ASAP. And heart goes out to those who lost their loved ones during the storm. whether or not this takes some left wing off the right wing for a bit, you know, maybe they could just get their act together and say, like, aren't we Americans? We were Americans, and then we became right and lefters. How the hell did that happen? Well, it happened to divide and conquer you. So hopefully this storm, you know, gets rid of some of that nonsense, and people understand that they're just people, and they're Americans. They're not rights, and they're not lefts. They're Americans. So take your right and your left and shove it where the sun don't shine. I don't like it, because it's specifically designed to destroy your nation. And if you look up the word party, you will find divide. Look it up in etymology. You will find divide. That's exactly what the right and left is there for. It's not there for your choice. It's there to divide you. And it's done an amazingly good job. Anyways, me and my wife had Liza up here for 3 nights. And she listens to the show, and she's been on the show. She's called in, and you know, she's a teacher who worked up in the reserves in mostly northern Alberta and Saskatchewan. And she's back in Toronto visiting her daughter. And she thought she might like to get a place out in the country instead of Toronto. Because up here in rural Ontario, one language works. You can come to rural Ontario and get by real good with one language. Down in Toronto, there's upwards of 200 languages. Have fun with that. Apparently, a whole bunch of people didn't integrate into the so-called society. Because they're all still doing the thing they were doing wherever they came from, including speaking their own languages, which I find rather insulting myself. Nothing really bothers me more than when I hear, a group of people that are in my country not speaking the language. You know, that should be a prerequisite. You ain't getting in here unless you speak fluent English, because that's the language. So, anyways, yesterday, Liza and I, oh, by the way, it's Liza's birthday today, so happy birthday to Liza. She took off out of here around noon today and is down visiting her daughter for her birthday tonight. So happy birthday to Liza. But yesterday, she came up here to look for an apartment so she could get out of the city and just kind of chill for a bit. And, so guess what there isn't in rural Ontario? Ain't nothing to rent. we were on the road for like 7 hours yesterday, I think it was. And we didn't find no rentals. Really sad. Or the rent was right off the charts. But we had a nice trip. We started here in my town, Kincardine, and then we went up north to Port Elgin, like 30 miles up the road, and through Southampton, went to the reserve, got some smokes and gas. And then we went to see a friend who's renovating a house up there on a lake, not Lake Huron, but just a little inland lake a couple miles off Lake Huron, and over to Wyarton, and met some nice people there. And then we headed south to Michael Schmidt's farm, the bandito that milks cows and is an absolute threat to the entire country, maybe the universe, maybe the entire universe, maybe the milk coming out of Michael's grass-fed cows who are never needled and are extremely healthy and are not pushed to produce more milk than they produce. Those cows and the milk that comes out of it could be the end of the. There's probably more dangerous than CO2 and climate change. Just pathetic. But anyways, I'm just joking around about that. So I want Liza to meet Michael, and he was down and he was hit his scythe out. He was knocking some grass down along the road out into the fields. The non-pesticide, non-GMO fields. And it was really weird because we were down there talking to Michael, and this big truck rolls in, comes down the road, and Liza and I had been uptown on, was it Monday, I guess? And we got an ice cream at the ice cream stand, and there was two guys sitting on a bench, and we're talking to them for a bit. And so that's about Durham, where it's about an hour east of here, where Michael's farm is. And so this big truck comes rumbling down the field road, and stops and talking to Michael, and we're kind of shooting the breeze there a bit. And then the truck driver starts talking to me. I'm like, "What the hell is he talking to me for?" And Michael said, "I couldn't hear because of the truck." And he says, "We'll jump up on the truck and find out what's cooking." So the guy driving the truck, this is a small world, right? The guy driving the truck says, "I know you." And I go, "What?" And he says, "You got an ice cream yesterday." "Yeah. Well, I was sitting on the bench. You were talking to us." I didn't recognize him in his uniform and that. So we both had ice cream at the ice cream in Kincardine yesterday. Or maybe it was Sunday. So that was kind of interesting. But we also went to the one-room schoolhouse that the folks there, Michael was a big part of this, they opened up the one-room schoolhouse. And they built two more buildings for classrooms. And they got like 40-some kids going to the school, local kids. In fact, people bringing their kids from out of area to get them into that school. And I'm telling you, if you went to that school, it was great because I've been by the school lots of times, but never opened when I was by it. So yesterday we went in and visited with the kids and the teachers and that. And it was just beauty. I mean, it's it certainly had, if you put that school to a public school, you'd go, "Can you see the difference?" "Oh yeah, I can see the difference. Humongous difference." And it's just what it used to be, right? And that school presently has grade kindergarten to grade eight. And what it does is it ties the generations together. Like the one teacher, and she's probably in her mid-20s or something, she was saying that she really doesn't even know her younger brother because her younger brother went to a different school and they were different grades, and the grades don't really mingle in the public school. They're stuck together. Whereas in these rural schools or the old rural schools, you normally had kindergarten to grade eight. And what's amazing, and all the teachers there agree 100% with it, is that the younger children, all of the children from grade kindergarten to seven in that particular school, they're intermingling all the time. So they're learning from each other. So you can't center out a grade and feed early sex ed to them because the older grade ain't going to go for it, right? They're not going to go for it. They're not isolated. These kids are not isolated. They participate with each other. And that's huge, right? And in the old days, the grandparents, the parents, and the kids, and the grandkids, they're all linked together. Okay? They were always linked. And what they've done is they've cut the links. And when they cut the links, the family is not in charge of the family anymore. Okay, that's how the government gets a hold of the family. They're not really interested in the family. They're interested in the kids. Because you take the little kids who are isolated in their grades and you feed them the propaganda you want to feed them, and they have nothing. They have nothing whatsoever to base it against. And that's why our society is such a freaking mess it is in now. So I really enjoyed that at the school. I mean, I really enjoyed it at the school. We were having some fun there. This little blonde guy, I don't know how old he is, 5, 6 years old, whatever. And he come over, we're talking to the teacher, and we were having fun. And I looked down at the little guy and I says, you know, I'm going to come to this school, I think. You know, I'm 63 years old and telling this little blonde guy, I said, I'm going to come to the school, I think. And the teacher says, yeah, he's going to start in kindergarten like you. And so we're having a lot of fun. And I said, yeah, because I want to learn how to count. And the little guy just took off counting, right? He was so proud because he knows how to count. And I'm going to kindergarten because I don't know how to count. So he counted off for a while. And I says, you know, let me try that. And I go, 1, 2, 3, 9, 11, 4, 6. And the little guy's just looking at me going, damn, he does need to get into class. Now, it was a lot of fun. It was a long trip. It was a long day. We were in and out of realtors all over the place and looking for apartments and whatnot. But it was a long day, but it was a good day. I got to spend the day with Liza and we got to know each other pretty good. And then swung back and headed back through Durham, stopped there, looked for places, then went to Hanover, looked for places, went to Waugerton, looked for places, all on the way back here to Kincardine, and got back here, and then spent the night with my wife and Liza, and they had some really good chats and whatnot, and got along just wonderful. So it was really nice to meet her because she's a very interesting lady. And I have so much respect for so many people I've never met. And it's really nice to meet someone that you've been talking to. I think we've been talking for 4 or 5 years now. So it was really, really, it was super nice to meet her and spend a little bit of time with her. It was good. Anyways. On to the not so good. I was just looking through some local news stuff here before we come on air, and the local newspaper, which is the Kincardine News, who's the editor is a Marxist, and he's tied in tight with the Muslims. He is actually their agent, I suppose you would say. He's gotten a lot of praise from the young Muslim who come and put things on our doors, flyers on our doors, saying that Islam is the religion of peace, and always promote the stuff that they're supposed to promote. I remember a long time ago when they were having, multiculturalism dinners. Well, we're all white here. You know, this is a Scottish English town. And so when they started this multiculturalism stuff, you knew there was something up, and it's just progressed. So we had our first gay pride parade in our little town this summer. And that was retarded, to say the least. So now I see in the local paper, where the heck did I see that thing? Where the heck did I see that? We pulled this already or what? It was right here front center. Let me do this again. It was in this. Okay, let me see if I can dig that up again. Where? Has that been blown off of here already or what? That would be amazing. Yeah, it's not here now. It was here just moments, like just an hour. It was here at 6 o'clock, and now it's not here. Anyways, it has to do with P flag. Now, I never heard of P flag before in my life. What the hell's P flag? And so we're going to have a P flag thing in my hometown. And I'm thinking, okay, what the hell's that? And it's written by, let me see if I can dig that story out here. Let's see what this is. P flag. This is such a corrupt municipality that I live in. It's beyond ridiculous. It really is. But then it's all municipalities are corrupt because they're all promoting and pushing the international agendas. So okay, it was the Kincardine News, but now I see it here in the Godrich Signal Star. They probably maybe pulled it because they didn't want me to see it. I don't know. Okay, PFLAG chapter meeting to take place at Kincardine Davidson Center, September the 19th. And this was written by, and see now we don't have, oh yeah, by Troy Patterson of the Kincardine News and Lucknow Sentinel. And he is an absolute Marxist. And he should have been hung years ago, but his job is to promote the international agenda, which is every editor's job. Anyway, we don't have any independent papers left, period. They may say independent, but they ain't independent. Kincardine will host a meeting for PFLAG as a chance for parents and friends of gay, lesbian, and trans folk to better understand and accept their children. The event is September 19, 2017, at the Davidson Center. Now, this town is about 7,000 people, somewhere in there. So, you know, the idea of a gay pride parade in a rural community of 7,000 people makes, no sense. Unless you're trying to push something. And having a PFLAG Canada event at a little town of 7,000 people in rural Ontario makes about no sense. But then having multicultural dinners in a little town of 7,000 people also makes no freaking sense. Anyways, Kincardine will host a meeting for PFLAG September 19th. The confidential meeting is free. What do you mean confidential? Confidential meeting is free, and there is no commitment, according to Kincardine Pride President Fort Papala. Now, this is the guy who fired up the Gay Pride Parade, who is a member of the Arts Council here, or the play, what do you call it, the where we put the plays on at. And this all came about because the year before, a couple of Bible people came up to town from London, Ontario, and they were preaching on the street corner, and apparently that threw the whole world into a tizzy. And so it was because of those two, this is what they said, this is what they used to promote the Gay Pride Parade. It was because of these two street preachers that rolled in from London that they had to fight back against this stuff. And that's why they fired up the Pride Parade and the municipalities involved in it and the telephone companies promoting it and sponsoring it and a bunch of other people. Anyways, it's a national, PFLAG Canada, a national charitable organization, was founded by parents who wish to help themselves and their family members understand and accept their non-heterosexual children. The coming out process can be a critical time for families, PFLAG says on their website. When the adjustment period is particularly long or painful, relationships can become permanently damaged, resulting in a lifetime of emotional scars, mental health problems again. The website reads, people cannot always rise above the challenge of accepting themselves or their family member, and the results can be devastating, even fatal. Suicide. We suggest these families through today, we support these families through today and give them hope for a better tomorrow. Now, so I go to the PFLAG site and PFLAG Canada. Here's the story right here. Then we go to PFLAG itself, the actual website. And who's sponsoring our partners and sponsors? We would like to thank the following sponsors for their commitment to our mission and their ongoing support for PFLAG Canada. The contributions they made, both of their time and finances, were enormous and a key part of what makes PFLAG Canada what it is. So, who's sponsoring and partnering with this thing? Iconic Communications, TD Bank, Unifor, the largest union group in the freaking, I think, maybe it's just Ontario, but it's huge. And when I went to speak in London, and the people that asked me to come and speak in London, I said, well, you may have a hard time finding a hall. And they said, no, we'll just get a hold of Unifor, because we've used their hall before. And what's that? Oh, I forget what his name is now. Hellyer was the deputy prime minister way back when, longest serving member of the Privy Council, who sees UFOs everywhere, apparently, spoke at Unifor not that long ago, which was put on by the group that asked me to speak in London. And I told them, I don't think Unifor is going to allow me to speak there, but give it a shot. And they called me back and they said, we're going to have to find another hall because Unifor does not want you in their hall. There's a reason for that. I tend to speak the truth. RBC Foundation, that's the Royal Bank. And we have Pink Play Mags, gay, lesbian, bi, transgender, and queer community seasonal magazine. The Pink Pages, directory.com, the official gay, lesbian, trans, bi, and queer directory for all Canada. I didn't know we had one of those. 6 Degrees, Integrated Communications, Scotiabank, Five Paddles Brewing Company, Transparent, as in transparent, Camp Firefly, and Pride of Toronto. It's a radio station. I didn't know that either. The Pride of Toronto, Pride FM 103.9. I don't know who the hell would tune into that shit, but anyways, it's quite an interesting site. Yes and no, because they're talking about inclusivity and diversity all through this thing, and but you can only see, this is the thing, people, all this diversity and inclusivity stuff, right? You can read their site in English or French. I think there's at least 122 languages in Toronto, at least. So this site isn't even inclusive, nor is it diverse. Or they would have it in 122 languages. We are a family. We are here for your family. We can be your family. We are a big family. And we represent family. Isn't that lovely? a close-knit group of individuals of all walks of life ready to share their experience, united together for one purpose, to nurture, love, and support each other. We're here for those who are feeling challenged with a loved one going through the gender sexual identity journey, the adopted extended family of those without a loving, supportive one. We are with local chapters, global network. See, there it is. Global network. Okay? Allied organizations plus individual donors all working together towards a win-win. And that win-win always made me want to puke. Remember when they brought that out years ago? Well, it's a win-win. Shut up. For our cause through different forms of contributions. In the world of gender sexual identity, we advocate to the government influencing policy making and change. Because we advocate to the government influencing policy making and change because we're hooked up with the global network. You see, this isn't local. This isn't provincial and it's not national. Okay, it's a globalist agenda. And that makes it extremely dangerous. So, about us, all they have about us is partners and sponsors, which I already talked about. Tells you how to get involved, get help, our stories, news, donations, resources. I haven't looked at that yet. They seem to have a lot of resources. A lot of your money is going to support this. Now, this is what really kills me. Rainbow families. The first one on the list is CBC News, which is the Communist Broadcasting Corporation of Canada. So CBC News Interactive, same-sex marriage in Canada. That's part of the Rainbow family. Gay Parent Magazine, Growth House, LBG issues. Let's see. And Rainbow Families about political attacks on our families. That's from the USA. And the religious organizations here, Affirm United, that'd be the United Church, I imagine, Dignity Canada, the Gay Buddhist Fellowship. I didn't know about that one. The Gay Lesbian Baha'i Story Project, the GayChurch.org, Healing Homosexually, Humanist Canada. Now, there's the whole problem right there. Humanist Canada. Okay, these churches used to preach a creator who created the heavens and the earth and the animals and the fishes and created man, gave man law, and gave man dominion. Now, humanism is the law of man, okay? So they can make up whatever the hell they want, and that's what they do. And humanism is a very dangerous game because humanism is really what got us to where we are today. And here's a good one, Integrity Canada. And Metropolitan Community Churches, Religious Society of Friends, the Quakers. And the Quakers, if you study the Quakers, they're up to their asses in this globalist agendas, as are, no doubt, the Mennonites. Now, that really freaked me out when I found out that Mennonites were as involved as they are in the globalist agendas. That really blew me away. But I can guarantee you that most of the Mennonites living on Mennonite farms have no idea what's going on, just like most people across this nation have no clue what's going on. They do not understand that the upper echelon of whatever group there might be involved in, it be a public school or a church or a union or the medical field, are all moving the globalist agendas. But most of the people down on the ground, most of the people who are members of the churches have no clue what's going on. Most of the people in the unions have no clue what's going on. And we can tell that most of those in the teaching profession have no clue what's going on. And the medical profession. You know, they can come up with any damn drug they want, and pretty quick, your doctor's going to be shoving it down your throat if he can. So we got a whole bunch of support thing. And this is what we got cooking here. So I'm going to put this, let's look at the news for a second. Now, this shit's coming to my little town, which is 7,000 people. Now, I guarantee you, we went and put some posters up about something else one time on the tack boards around town, and they were gone so fast, it'll blow your mind, man. Like, it's like they got people following people around going, you know, it's like the old Russian thing, you know, gather up all the magazines so nobody gets them. This is a video here, that's the video that I put on my Facebook, and I wrote a little piece about this just before we went on air. And there's a video on in the news, under the news heading. So I'll just throw that in. I'll put that news link into the, and you can look at the rest of the site as you wish. But this particular video, sponsored by Rogers TV. Now, the Gay Pride thing was sponsored by Bruce Telecom, which is my telephone company. And now this Stand Proud York Region thing is sponsored by Rogers TV, which just happens to be my internet provider. You can't escape this shit. And I'm buying the cable from Rogers, and I'm paying for my telephone by a telephone company which is owned by the municipality. So when I pay my phone bill, I'm supporting Gay Pride, and when I pay for my cable bill, I'm supporting this PFLAG crap. Really pisses me off. And because I'm in such a little community, you really don't have a lot of options. So here's this huge thing here, and then we have some stuff here. So I don't know what the next page says, but I want to get to. We have little. This is so sick. This is two, I guess, women, but one is obviously, by the look of the way it's dressed, a man. The other one's probably a woman, and they're holding hands with a child in the middle, which looks like a young boy. Gay Day, a message from the National Board. National Board of what? After 8 years of holding our event, Gay Day at Canada's Wonderland, we are saddened to inform you that PFLAG Canada will no longer hold our event at the theme park. Our decision comes after an incident last month at our annual Gay Day, where two men who were enjoying the day together as a couple were approached by two park staff and asked to hugging. They were told that Wonderland is a family park and that they should monitor their behavior. PFLAG Canada is very disappointed and appalled that this couple were made to feel unwelcome and unsafe at our event on a day that was supposed to be a celebration of who they are. Is anybody else ready to puke yet? Gay Day is meant to be a day for our LGBTQ family and friends to feel accepted and included. We are also disappointed in the response received from Canada's Wonderland, who have still not responded to us directly and have ignored our offer to come in and provide free diversity training to the staff at Wonderland. Our decision to cancel Gay Day was not an impulsive decision. PFLAG Canada's Board of Directors met and discussed this at length We felt that no answer, indeed a very strong answer. Yeah, like, fuck off. Our decision to cancel Gay Day has not was not an impulsive decision. They say that again. Although we do appreciate the apology the couple received from Wonderland's GM by email, we felt it was a corporate apology with no true intent on embracing diversity in the LGBT community. Gay Day must be a safe and welcoming space for LGBTQ family and friends, and moving forward, it must be with an organization and venue that truly wants to celebrate and take ownership of Gay Day and PFLAG Day, or PFLAG Canada. Some have said we should keep going doing Gay Day at Wonderland to increase visibility and stand up against oppression, but the only thing the park saw in us was a dollar sign. We need a true community partner and LGBTQ ally. We are currently in the process of finding a new establishment to hold Gay Day in the coming years. We are open to suggestions from the community on where they would like to attend the event. We would like to thank the entire community for their support. Like, make me puke. Well, listen, seeing as Rogers sponsored the video that I'm about to put up, maybe you could hold it in the Rogers Center. I think that's where they hold We Day, which is capital W, capital E, which is Global Corporate Day, of which our Tinkerbell Prime Minister attended and spoke at. Let me just throw this in the chat. And I'm probably going to get hammered here by these people for what I put into Facebook. And it's not derogatory at all. So it's not. But they'll probably think it is because I didn't apologize for what I wrote, because I think anybody with a half a brain can figure out what I wrote and why I wrote it the way I wrote it. Anyway, so I stuck this thing in Facebook. And York Region is one of the regions that is trying to move Michael Schmidt and the community off of the farm. They're the ones that brought Michael. They were one of the parties that brought, are looking for an injunction against the cooperative and Michael Schmidt and family. So, PFLAG York Region Gala, another event celebrating diversity, inclusiveness, and love. This is what they say in the video. Unfortunately, diversity, inclusiveness, and love is not offered to the whole of society. Many thousands of Ontarians want to live a healthy lifestyle that includes access to raw milk, non-factory farm, grass-fed meat, non-GMO foods, free of poison, etc. Unfortunately, while this group of people is also diverse and loving, they are denied the right of inclusiveness in today's society. Many farmers have been raided by the very government and police who promote diversity, inclusiveness, and love. Many have been charged and dragged into court for what? Producing food, healthy, wholesome food with love and respect for the land, the animals, and those who want and consume the food. Those in the LGBTQ suffer from a higher rate of mental illness and suicide rate, many times higher than the rest of society. Those in the second group suffer none of these problems, yet are shunned by government and talk about negatively in the mainstream media. How can government or media promote Ontario or other places as diverse and inclusive when those words do not apply to the majority of the population? They can't, but they do. Why? It all has to do with international globalist agendas being forced upon our nations, making the abnormal normal, which it will never be. Time for people to pay attention and make their voice of disapproval heard. Silence is consent. Don't be silent. Who is involved in this thing? The York Region School Board, police, Rogers, RCB, and all the rest of these clowns. So listen to the video and quit being so damn quiet. Another thing I want to get in here before we're at the end of the show, I got a call last night from Karen Draper in Calgary, Alberta. And she is going to run at some municipal elections in Alberta this fall. And she will be running for the school board. And, you know, I can't tell you how proud I am of this girl. She's like in her 30s. She's got a kid that doesn't like what she sees going on in the school system. And she's listened to my show. She's heard me barking about people need to run for these positions because nobody's going to step forward unless you do. You're it. And so she took up the challenge, and she'll be running for the school board. And Helen from Calgary, who calls in from time to time, and I do want to apologize to Helen. She called me probably a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't got back to her. I've been busy. But her and Karen have hooked up, and there's, you know, Helen's in her mid-late 60s, Karen's in her 30s, and they've linked, okay? They put the link together, the generational link. And so Karen has someone that is extraordinarily intelligent and stable and solid to communicate with as she gets prepared to do something she probably never thought she would be doing in her life. But she knows she has to, and she's taken up the challenge. So, you know, hats off to both Helen for helping Karen and Karen for stepping up to the plate and doing what she knows has to get done. And I would like other people to understand that you, too, have a duty and you need to step up to the plate. So hopefully we get Helen and maybe we can get the both of them on here. I'm going to have Chris's son, Christian, on this coming Sunday. And I'm not, we're going to try and work this through. I got to get a hold of Helen and Karen and that, because I think it would be a really good thing. We'll get Christian on first. He's 15, and go through what he's starting to understand. And because, you know, Christian's 15, Karen's in her 30s. And Helen's in her 60s. And this is what we have to do. We have to put those links back together, okay? Because there's things, obviously, that Helen and Karen know and understand that probably Christian doesn't. And he could be a very good mouthpiece into his school and that, and with his friends and things. So, you know, my intention is to save this nation. My intention is to wrestle this nation free from the internationalists, because this is our nation, not their nation. These are our resources. These are our people. And we are responsible for our resources and our people, not some international cabal writing international law designed to squash us. And we just sit back and be silent. Now, I know Helen wasn't silent. They went after the fluoride, her and some friends in Calgary, and they eventually managed to get it out of there. And they got what they did was what we have to do. They held the Council of Calgary. They put their feet to the fire. When they first started talking to the council would listen and pat them on the head, thanks for your input, have a nice day, get gone. And over time, they realized that it's insulated here, it's isolated. And it's inside that hall. So when they got it, they started putting up posters on the bus stops and all over Calgary with the pictures and home phone numbers of the counselors, and explaining that these counselors, by leaving the fluoride in the water, are actually poisoning the children, and that the parents ought to pick up a telephone and call these dinks. And that, not going to council, that is what convinced the council. Their feet being held to the fire is what brought about the removal of fluoride out of the water in Calgary. And this was accomplished by some middle-aged ladies. And Karen is a young lady. And I hate to keep saying this, guys, but you got to step up to the plate. Okay? Everything I see so far is the ladies. The ladies are stepping up to the plate, and the guys are not. And that has to stop. The guys have got to come forward. The guys have got to make their voices heard. You know, your children are in great peril in the public school system. Now, what I was discussing with, after we came back from Michael's schoolhouse on the way home, we were discussing, and we were discussing actually again this morning. We went and got a coffee and drove around, went down to the lake and stuff this morning, and before Eliza took off back to Toronto. And we were discussing, you know, the public school system. And, you know, I was thinking before, and I'm still thinking it, that Liza would make a phenomenal teacher, not in the public school system, outside of the public school system. And, you know, as I'm talking to her about it, is that, you know, we could do the very same thing as they did over at Michael's neck of the woods, like reviving the old one-room schoolhouse, and they put a couple of other buildings up for classes. Because the one-room schoolhouse now is exclusively for the kindergarten, and it's really cool in there. I walked in there, I didn't see a desk in the place, right? And there was, you know, some fun stuff to do in there, lots of counters, lots of drawing boards and whatnot. It certainly didn't look like your normal classroom. Well, it couldn't, because there's no desks in the place, but maybe they don't have desks in regular kindergarten either, I don't know. But the whole feel of the place was, you just put a smile on your face. You know, we met a lot of the parents when they were coming, because we were there after 3 and they were coming to pick the kids up. And the parents all had smiles on their face. The parents were just ecstatic to have their children at this school. But, you know, there are still good teachers out there. Either they be, you know, retired teachers that still have lots of life in them, or younger teachers that are just totally fed up with the school system and still want, but they still want to teach. But they don't want to teach this curriculum garbage. And, you know, if you got 20, 30 kids together in a neighborhood, so the kids don't have to take a bus to school, right? You know, you could, you know, 20, 30 parents could easily chip in enough to pay for the cost of a teacher, and you could probably have volunteers involved in it as well, and get your damn kids out of that school system. You know, run for your local council and get your kids out of the school. If we could just do those two things, just those two things, we could change this nation within a generation or two. Because we'd grow strong, willed, spirited people who would stand up, who would do what needs to be done. But we can't ever accomplish that unless we get involved. You know, and I think you'd find your lives a lot more interesting. You're involved in saving your nation than watching a stupid ball game or talking about somebody got a birdie to win a major in a golf tournament. Who gives a damn? Your nation's being torn to pieces. Have some fun with it. Like when I was talking, we talked for a long time last night, me and Karen, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And, you know, she said the same thing, basically. Like, it's costing her $100 to run for the school board. $100. And you won't get more entertainment value for $100 anywhere. No way, no how, no chance. And these are just things we have to do. Because if the parents still got their kid in the school system, they're basically saying, you know, I ain't got time for you. I ain't got time to look into what they're doing to you. In other words, I don't give a damn. You know, I'm too busy here. State, take the kid. The state goes, thank you very much. Now, Karen said they're putting a motion out there somewhere in the school board that the school board, the school curriculum, or the school board, which is in charge of all this stuff, will be able to teach the kids some pretty bad stuff, and they won't have to, you know, they won't have to explain it to the parents. Okay, in other words, they're moving in for the kill with the kids. The parents will have no right to say anything about anything that's being taught in the schools. So the only option is pull them the hell out of the schools. Teach whatever the hell you want to an empty schoolroom. Fill your boots, because we're out of here, because we're setting up schools. We're setting up our own damn schools in our own damn neighborhoods, and you clowns can suck air. Okay, you're not going to be targeting our children to transgender them at the age of 3 and 4 and 5 years old. Ain't going to happen. We're not going to allow it. So there's no point fighting with the school board. I mean, we either get the school board, like the municipal councils, we get control of them, like Karen is attempting to do. Because if we don't have a voice, and the only voice in the municipalities, and the only voice in the schools are that of the internationalists, the globalists. If that's the only voice that's in these situations, then we're going to lose. We're going to lose our nation. And I have no intention of seeing that happen. So get active, folks. There's no excuses. Anyways, I see we're about out of time here. I got an idea for a flag, and it ain't one of those flags, but we're going to see if we can get one produced. Anyways, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do the Thursday night show or not. I'm probably heading north up to give John a hand, getting his rental closed in before the weather breaks. So I'm going to do my damnedest, but... maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But till then, or whenever, everybody have a great night.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn.